Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. We read the first part of verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 22 and the first part of verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. In thinking of the services here today, I woke early Friday morning, and as I woke thinking of the Lord's Day, these words dropped into my heart, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And it's remained with me with a measure of power. And I want us help to bring it before you. First of all, this was a very searching occasion, because it was here in the judgment hall that Peter should deny his blessed master. And before the Saviour were these great agonies and sufferings. He had been in the Garden of Gethsemane. But now before him was the great sufferings of the cross, the agonies that he was to endure. And may the Lord give us faith to enter into a little of the reality of these searching, sacred yet solemn things. But what I particularly want to look at this morning is not just particularly concerning the case of Peter, but how we each need what is couched in the first part of this text. The Lord to turn. What a mercy when the Lord here turned and looked upon Peter. And yet, that is a very solemn thing, because we are all poor, wretched sinners. And the Lord, you see, he sees us exactly as we are. Nothing is hid from him. And as the Lord turned, there was a reason for him turning here. He was being brought before these rulers, the high priests, the precious Son of God. And instead of looking at them, he now turns and he looks at Peter. And as he turned, you see, there was a divine purpose in the Lord turning, because Peter had denied his blessed master. Or we think of what Peter had said earlier. You see, the Lord had said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You think of that searching word, the Lord, you see, knew exactly about Peter and all that would take place. But what, before I look into that, I want to just remind you of how Peter answered the Lord. And he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to into prison and to death. We see here something that's very searching, really, because the Lord knew more about Peter than Peter knew about himself. Peter, on many occasions, had defended the precious Son of God against the accusations of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews. A man that was ever ready to stand. And you would have thought such a man as this would have stood in this hour of temptation, but we see how powerful Satan is, you see. And the Lord knew more about Peter than he did about himself. He said he was willing to go even to prison and to death. But what did the Lord say to him? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And you see, our text is in the response of that cock crowing. We read in the verse previous, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, as he while he yet spake, the cock crowed. You know that cock was a solemn voice. And you think the Lord can use anything he pleases to speak to his people. And here he used this cock, the cock crew. And the Lord Jesus didn't say anything to Peter. He just turned and looked to Peter. It didn't need anything to be said, did it? The Lord had spoken as that cock crew. Peter was brought to see immediately how solemn a position he was in. Denying his blessed master. May we ever be kept from denying the Lord. In our speech, in our walk, in our actions. You see, there are times where the Lord won't say anything, but he turns and he looks at his people. And you know, when this text came, it seemed very searching to me. And yet it's a very blessed word. He brought Peter to examine himself, didn't he? As the Lord turned. Well, could the Apostle Paul write in writing to the Corinthians, those beautiful words, and yet they're searching words, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. This was a time of solemn testing and examination to Peter. No, it was. And the Lord turned. Oh, may he turn and look upon us, but look upon us in mercy We have some solemn records in the Word of God where the Lord turned and he poured his wrath out upon his enemies and upon those that oppose the children of God. But here, as he turns, he looks and looked upon Peter. It was really upon that beautiful word and looked that seemed to so arrest me as this word came. He looked. Let us look at the solemn searching side first and then look at the blessed side. The solemn thing is that he sees us exactly as we are. We may present our bodies or in our actions or in our ways acceptable to men, but the Lord looketh at the heart. And he looked at the heart of Peter and he knew how the heart of Peter was prone to fall and prone to wander. It's like the hymn writer said, isn't it? Prone to wander from the Lord. Prone to forget the Lord. Prone to sin. Prone to wandering. Prone to backsliding. And the Lord looks, and you think how he looked upon the children of Israel when they were backsliding in the wilderness, and how he looked upon them when they were sinning against him in making the idols like the calves, the calf and so on, worshipping other gods, and the Lord looked from heaven. I thought we were singing of that word, it seemed to drop down in Psalm 53. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. He looked down from heaven, and you see the all-seeing eye of the Lord looks down upon you today, and he looks down upon me. Nothing escapes his sight. And looked upon Peter. And that all-seeing eye saw in Peter's heart, before once he'd even denied the Lord, that Peter would deny him. And the Lord looked. And he saw what was in Peter. And you know, this will make the sinner very cautious that fears God when they see the all-seeing eye of the Lord looking upon them. The hymn writer said, he sees us when we see not him. And always hears our cry. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now what was this look? First of all, it was a look of deep conviction. As the Lord looked at Peter and upon Peter, immediately in Peter's heart there was deep conviction of the sin that he committed. He came in guilty before the God of heaven, didn't he? And we've no stones to cast at him. Those that know their own heart will know that left for a moment, they can be just like Peter. But it was a look of conviction, you see. And this look, as the Lord looked at him and upon him, Peter knew that he'd sinned against the Lord and grieved his glorious Redeemer. The arrow was sent by God and it went right into the heart of Peter. Oh, it did. The Lord never misses his mark, you know. Let us remember that. Man may with an arrow fire it, he may miss that mark many times, but the Lord never will. Oh no. And he didn't with Peter, did he? But the second thing was this look upon dear Peter was a look of love. Oh, it was. You know, the Lord loved dear Peter. And this is why he looked, as soon as that cock crew, he looked at Peter and upon him. And that look of love, you know, was never to be forgotten by Peter. You know, there's no doubt, as he went on his way from this hour, we know he went away, and I want to look at it in a moment, how he went out and wept bitterly. But you know, love was in it all. Oh, may the Lord look upon us in love. He didn't look upon Judas in love, did he? You know, solemn, there was two. Look at those two cases. You see, Judas, as soon as he had betrayed the Lord of life and glory, what did Judas do? He went out. So did Peter go out after he denied his master. Judas went out and hanged himself. He was under eternal condemnation. Hell was to be his portion. And yet the Lord had chosen him to be one of the apostles. And how close we can come, you see. Well, could the Apostle Paul say, I fear lest after preaching to others, myself shall prove to be a castaway. I remember the late Mr. John Green, when he lay in hospital in London, a dear man saying, he said, all my years of preaching, all my years of my pastorate, he said, will never get me to heaven. He said, you know, as I lay here in this deep affliction, the Lord has shown me there's only one place to rest. I can't rest on all my preaching. I can't rest on all the years of pastorate. The only place I can rest is in the finished work of Christ. And the Lord Jesus was very precious to the dear man in that affliction, you know. And the Lord raised him up and spared him to preach for many years afterwards. But, you know, I've never forgot how he told me how low the Lord brought him, and yet he brought him to fall into the arms of the dear Redeemer. So where are you resting and where am I? You see, Peter couldn't rest on himself, could he? The Lord was showing him here as he looks upon him in love that he couldn't rest in his own heart or all what he'd done in the past. He got to rest wholly in the finished work of a precious Jesus. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. But too, this was a look of mercy. Oh, it was. As the Lord looks upon Peter, he looks and that deep conviction and sorrow that was in the heart of Peter because he denied his blessed master, the Lord saw it. And that look of love toward him, and then that look of mercy. You know, the Lord will not send sinners back that come seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Oh no. No man knows what dear Peter felt as he went out and he wept bitterly. And yet he knew the sweet taste of mercy. It was a look of mercy. The Lord, you see, love and mercy was toward Peter. Not because of what he'd done. The Lord grieved because of what he'd done, and Peter had to grieve over it, didn't he? And weep over it. He went out and he wept bitterly. Do you know, there may be those of you that the Lord has looked on you and what you're in, and he knows those inward weepings because of your sin, because of your unbelief, because of your wanderings. You know, I feel personally, the older I get, the more I fail in seeking the Lord, in serving him. And the Lord looks and he sees how you feel, you see. And he knew how Peter felt. Oh, he did. As the Lord looks on him, he sees exactly how Peter was feeling now, of grief and of weeping and of sorrow. But you see, this look went right through Peter and right into his heart. As he looks, what does the Lord do with Peter? And this is where he's so different than Judas. Judas died in hardness and rebelliousness and in sin. Oh, he did. But you know, here, and it's been very sweet to me in thinking upon this, that dear Peter, when the Lord looked upon him, and I've spoken those three things particularly, the look of conviction, the look of love, and the look of mercy. That look went right into the heart of Peter. And in the heart of Peter, what effect did it have? It broke Peter's heart. That look did. Do you know what it is when the Lord looks at you and he breaks your heart? He melted him. Here was a arrogant Peter. I know not this man, he says. But in a moment, one look from the Saviour broke the dear man's heart and melted him before the God of heaven. And that's the difference between him and Judas, you see. There was no repentance in Judas. There was no brokenness of heart. There was no contrition. There was no meekness. And perished in his sin. It's a very solemn thing, you know, where there's arrogance and hardness and rebelliousness. Not so with Peter. Oh, how his heart was humbled, you see, melted before the God of heaven. And that's what seemed very sweet to me, you know, the look the Lord gave him. Do you know what it is for him to look at? Well, let me come low. Do you desire that he would come and look upon you? Lord, look upon me. I'm such a guilty wretch. I'm full of sin throughout. Oh, look upon me. Look in mercy. Well, could the psalmist say, he hath not dealt with us according to our sin, or cut us off as cumbers of the ground, has he? He's a God of mercy. He looks upon his dear people. Well, look at that in the case of Peter, and may we know what he knew when the Lord looked upon him. But you see, there was a look of blessing in this. The hour was to come, and Peter felt as he went out and wept bitterly whether it ever be changed, this sorrow and weeping. But it was to be. And after the resurrection, as I've often mentioned, those beautiful words of the Saviour were to be sent to Peter. Oh, they were. And what did the Lord say to dear Mary Magdalene and those dear women? Go and tell my disciples and Peter. There was a special word to be taken to him that Christ had risen. And when you think of it, you know, the wonders of it all, it was this dear man that was to preach that notable sermon on the day of Pentecost. And how could he preach it? Because he'd walked it out. He knew as he preached on that beautiful day and that sacred sermon of exhorting the dear Lord Jesus, he knew exactly what he preached because he'd walked it. And he knew what it was to be brought as a wretched, ruined sinner to the feet of Jesus, pleading for mercy, and the Lord had granted him it. And he knew what it was to know the preciousness and suitability of the dear Lord Jesus, suited to his very soul. And that's why he lifted Christ high on the gospel pole on that day of Pentecost and set it before them, whom ye have crucified. And he knew what it was in his own heart, that it was he and his sin that had nailed the Saviour, and I speak it with much reverence, to Calvary's tree. Do you and I know this look? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He looked upon him. He saw him exactly as he was. And he knew he needed mercy. And he knew that he would need the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, he did. What a mercy it is. The Lord knows the end from the beginning in things, isn't it? He knows the end, and he knew the end of what it would be with dear Peter. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and looked upon him in all that he was in. And what was very sweet to me in thinking upon this word was this. It won't matter what state or what case you come into, the Lord looks upon his people in those things. Oh, he does. And he looks upon whatever you may be in today. The Lord looks upon it all. Well, let me use a simple illustration from the Word of God. You go back to the children of Israel at the Red Sea, when Pharaoh and his host were out to destroy the Lord's dear children there. And we read how the Lord looked upon the hosts of the Egyptians. He looked down from heaven. And as he looked down, he saw two blessed things, really. He saw the great need that the children of Israel were in. And he saw all the sorrow that was there occurring, that they were walking in, and grief because of the onslaughts of Pharaoh and his host trying to destroy them. And what did the Lord do? He looked upon the house of Pharaoh and he saw exactly where the weakness was in them, and he knew what to do. And we read how he took off their chariot wheels, so they drave them heavily. And how they were to be destroyed in that sea. Oh, the Lord looked down, you see, upon all what they were in. And you think what you're in today. The Lord is looking down upon all his dear children. It won't matter where they are. They may be in the backside of the desert in Africa. It may be in the height of the streets of London. And he looks upon everyone and he sees all what they need. And he looks upon them in love. Well, what I want to do as help is take you back a little. Can we, and Peter was took back, you know, to the days of his unregeneracy as a fisherman. When, as the hymn writer said, as Satan's blind slaves, we sported with death. The Lord looked upon Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road, you know, and the Lord's look of love was toward him. Can we look back how he looked upon us, even when we were Satan's blind slaves? And he spoke to us and brought us out from serving Satan to serve the Lord. And what a mercy it is today, isn't it? The Lord looks at all the hearts of all men and he knows exactly the hour when he will call by grace. And he looks down and he knows where everyone is and he knows just how to bring them from serving Satan to serve the Lord. He looks. Thou God, Hagar said, didn't you? Seest me, the all-seeing eye of the Lord. And he looks, dear children, at the times when you may do things wrong or I may do things wrong. And he looks and he sees it and we shall have to give account of it all. And the Lord turned and he looked upon Peter. Oh, he looked upon Peter. May he turn and look upon many today in these dark and solemn days. And he looks upon his people and he sees exactly what they need. Go back to the Red Sea, how he looked upon them and he knew exactly how to deliver them. You see, is anything too hard for the Lord? You may have got some hard things this morning, difficult things, trying things, but the Lord looks upon it all, you see. And he knows exactly how to command deliverance to his people, as he did at the Red Sea, and manifest it so beautifully, didn't he? By taking off those chariot wheels, and the sea returned and destroyed all the hosts of Pharaoh. And the Lord looked upon it all. And he saw their need. Now there may be those of you that are in great need today. It may be in providence. It may be in your soul. It may be in your pathway. It may be in your family. It may be in the church of God. And he looks. We find that beautiful prayer, don't we? It comes to one's mind, so I name it. Look upon Zion. And oh, that the Lord would look upon the churches today like he did in former days. And smile upon the churches once more. Look down upon Zion. Look upon Zion. In his love and in his mercy. I was looking at some old photos the other day and it reminded me of some of the early days in our life, you know, and the prosperity there was in the Church of God then. And in former days, I know we are told by the Word of God not to despise the day of small things, and may the Lord ever keep us from despising it. But, you know, we look back and we think of those wonderful days like here in days past and throughout Zion. And oh, that the Lord would once again look upon us and appear for us and deliver us like he did Peter. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Now, he didn't remember it until the Lord looked upon him. And it may be there are some of you today that may have had a word from the Lord in days past. You may have even forgotten it. You may have gone completely from your memory, and yet he spoke it to you. The hymn writer said, our memory is bad, and what is sad, the folly still retains. And, you know, the Lord looks upon you, and he brings that word to your remembrance of what he said. And Peter needed reminding of it, didn't he? We need reminding, don't we? And the Lord knew exactly how to remind Peter of what he'd said. And it may be in your heart you need reminding, and may the Holy Spirit sweetly come and apply this to you today, and the Lord look upon you in it all. And we read, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crowed, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He remembered what the Lord had said. Now who is the blessed remembrancer of his dear people? It's the blessed Holy Spirit. I love that word in John 14 where the Saviour said to his dear disciples in all their sorrow of how he would comfort them, but he said when he would leave them he would send the blessed Comforter to them, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And then listen, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And when he brings them to your remembrance, poor soul, you're about to weep in two ways, really. First of all, you weep because you've forgotten them. Proves how frail we are, doesn't it? Proves how frail Peter was. But then we weep because the Lord has been so pleased to bring them again to our remembrance, and we weep for joy. Wonderful thing, isn't it, when you can weep for joy. I hope I've known a little of the weeping in sorrow, but I hope I've known the real weeping and joy where we've been full and our soul has wept over the mercy and glory and preciousness the Saviour has bestowed upon us. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. May we know experimentally what Peter did here for the Lord to turn and look upon us. And may we know what it is to remember what he said to us. And what he has said, you see, will never return void. And what he has said will be precious to us. It'll be life. It's a living word, you see, from a living God. And it'll be precious to our souls. And what will faith do? It will embrace what the Lord says. It's a solemn thing if we're thieves and robbers. You may say, oh, but we don't go and shoplift or anything like that. We're not thieves like the ungodly would be. But we're thieves and robbers if we take anything from God's holy word and apply it to ourselves. But what the Lord gives to his dear children, he gives them. It's a gift. And when he gives them a word, it's theirs. It's nobody else's. He gives it to them personally. And with Peter, it was a personal word. And Peter was to remember it. Well, I must leave it because of the time, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the reality of this to each of our souls. Amen.